white man hit me. I almost died. I was hospitalized. There was an old man that used to abuse me sexually and wanted to. And every time I wanted to tell my mother, he would tell me that if you speak, I'm going to kill you. I was just still, I don't know, I was just still pounding up the ceiling of the shack. While I was looking up the ceiling of the shack, all of a sudden, I saw a light shining on the door of the shack. And there walks Jesus.
Same day.
Same day I gave my life to Jesus. His eyes were filled with fire. He was shining. I couldn't even look at his face. He was coming with the brightness and his glory. I saw things leaving my body. I saw snakes, animals leaving my body. Things that were dead. I was born again one day. The first miracle I saw was a woman who couldn't walk. And I said to her, leave your crutches and walk. And she walked. It was just happening supernaturally up until today.
I've been through the most. Been through the most.
Hola, Sen fam, and welcome to I've Been Through the Most podcast right here on Sen Twins TV with myself, Millicent, and my twin sister, Innocent. And of course, week in and week out, we're joined by incredible guests who share incredible stories, life-changing, and of course, it leaves us always just, you know, revived, you know, and our faith renewed. That, I mean, it's part of the assignment, you know.
It's part of this ministry.
Just to entertain or just to know there's a bigger purpose, and we're glad that you are a part of it. So thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you make your presence known by liking and commenting down below and tell us where you are watching from. Join the family also by subscribing to the channel. It's absolutely free. We are on the road to 500K subscribers. Please help us get there. You don't have to pay nothing for it. All you have to do is to click on that button and be part of the family. And of course, you get exclusive content just for you to watch mahala for free. Shorts, long form, we all got it for you. We are not only available here on YouTube, we are also available on our digital social platforms.
Yes, it's actually audio platforms.
Okay.
On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and of course right here on YouTube. You are all so welcome.
If you want to sit on the hot seat, of course, telling your story, please do send us an email. The email address is down below. We are available on our different social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, a WhatsApp channel. We are there. Let's get into our story today. Like Millicent said, we'll bring you another impactful story. Minister Harry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I've been following your program for such a long time. You guys are doing a great job. And this is the platform that God is using to touch the nations.
Amen. Wow, that authority, right? I felt like I'm in church. There's about to be a revival.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself for those who don't know you? We know that you're a minister, popular one, I will say. You know, you do so much in the kingdom, but for those who have never heard about you before, kindly introduce yourself to our audience.
Yes, my name is Minister Harry, from Limpopo, originally in the land of milk and honey, place called Mogopong. Limpopo, Mogopong. I was born there, raised there, and I'm a minister of the gospel, a preacher of the gospel, a prophet, and a worshipper. I'm not a gospel artist, I'm a worshipper.
You're a worshipper.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. An artist, it's a different one. So
yeah.
I'm a worshipper, and we have churches all over South Africa. And my heart is more on worshipping and call to prepare people for the coming of our Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord has called me for.
Wow.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. I think especially when you spoke about the difference between an artist and a worshipper.
Yes.
You know, maybe take us through your worship experience. When did you start being a worshipper, and when did your journey begin?
Oh, many years ago in Mogopong, I used to, you know, I started singing before I got born again. I used to love those choirs, you know, singing in those choirs. And I used to like singing during assembly time, and they used to mock me and call me names and said this. You know, most of the girls sometimes during assembly, the principal or the teacher will say, guys, ladies, you know, sing a chorus or something, and they'll be quiet. So I'll just start.
You go for it.
Yes. And at those days, I used to be a hip-hop artist, you know.
Oh.
You know, I'm born again, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But I started singing before I was born again.
Mm.
And then I gave my life to Jesus in the year 2002.
Mm-hmm.
The very same day I encountered the Lord Jesus, you know, and started singing at assembly, and from singing at assembly, got, you know, born again, and started following hip-hop. Then, you know, I worked with some secular artists, I don't want to mention names, that are popular. I think one of the person that has played a big of important role in my music was Kabelo Mabalani, because I used to love his music at that time. And that time when I was in Bible school, I was his, you know, we are friends, and he introduced me to another guy by the name of King. King was a music director for Rhythm City. So that was the first time I recorded my hip hop, you know, music. I was doing more of hip hop, and the Lord took me back, you know, I came to worship.
And
then since that time, you know, the Lord started doing great things, and, you know, the gift of writing songs, composition of songs, and producing songs for other people. And that's what happened. And I keep on worshiping the Lord. Just now I took a little bit break when it comes to the music, releasing songs, but I'm more on just building the ministry and focusing on helping others to to worship the Lord in a correct way.
In the correct way. Let's get into your story. You know, you sent me a video as well, and you are in ministry. Perhaps just take us, you know, from the beginning and through your journey, just narrating and getting straight into your story.
Okay, yeah. I was born and raised in Limpopo, Mokgopong, a land of Mekelhani. I love, in a farm in a rural area. So I was raised by a single parent. My mom really worked hard for raising me. And I grew up as a child that was mostly rejected, called names, even at school. It was very hard because they used to call me names. And some used to call me sheep, some used to call me gold. You know, they'll call me different kind of names. And I remember I started working at the age of 11 at the farm. I will go to school. After school, I'll work in the farm. And I've been always independent by myself. And I remember at the age of 14, there was I've got a scar here on my face and here on my head. The pigs ate the food for cows, and the white man hit me. I almost died. I was hospitalized. And actually, that white man, after I got born again, I went to his farm and told him that I've forgiven him. And the dogs beat, you know, he sent the dogs, they beat me. You know, those times, just the time of apartheid. Apartheid that time. So, and they had to move me to go stay at another farm. And it was a struggle because I used to work at that farm. So it was a struggle now because I had to provide for myself. So I'll go on the street, cut wood, sell wood. Around the age of 13, 14, I was staying in a place called Malati Park that is in Mokgopong, in the rural, in the farm there. And then sometimes we used to go to, there used to be a place called Holiday Resort, and I'll travel from after maybe a few years I moved to the township. Also, I'll travel there, go to the rubbish bin, get food, rotten meat, clean it, get bread, remove weights, it's got fungal, you know, the bread when it's... And because of this time, the struggle, the way of the struggle that I was in, and I was always a church person. But at the same time, at high school, I was the only learner that never had shoes. I was wearing a tattered shirt, a torn shirt, and I remember there was a teacher called Mr. Masonganyi. He saw me wearing shoes that were tied with wire.
Wire?
Yes, because I didn't have shoes. You know, at that point in time, my mom was a person that was drinking a lot, you know, drunkard and stuff. I was always independent. So he bought me shoes, that teacher, and up until today, I don't forget him. I always tell him, I remember when he was telling me that, Joe, I watch on TV. I was watching you on ETV preaching. I'm proud of you. I'm like, no, I thank you. Because of you showed me love when I was at school. There was a time where I didn't have shoes. And I'll wear one trouser, you know, the shirt was, you know, I'll call names and all those kind of things, been bullied, you know, those kind of things. And wow, And it came the time where I gave my life to Jesus. I remember very well when a friend of mine, a guy, used to see me, because that time I was into this hip-hop. I was trying to get attention, you know, because of I was one of the most guy that was very good when it comes to English. You know, most of the people from our hometown, Kolimbobo, they couldn't speak good English.
Okay.
So I was very, very good when it comes to English. And if they want to bully me, I'll speak in English. And they'll run away.
Twanging.
Yeah. Yes. They used to call me Englishman those days, you know. So I remember 2002, this guy preached the gospel to me. I used to go to church, you know, the Yamapostola. We call it Yamapostola. Richardres. So we used to, you know, those kind of things. And a guy by the name of Brother China shared the gospel to me, and he told me that Jesus loves me. It was the first time I had somebody telling me that Jesus loves me. Remembering when I was young, you know, there was an old man that used to, you know, when I was young, there was an old man that used to abuse me sexually and wanted to, and every time I wanted to tell my mother, he would tell me that if you speak, I'm going to kill you. You know, I kept that for years, kept that because of, if I remember telling my mother will beat me. So now you've been abused sexually by an old man, and now you tell your mother is beating you. So you feel like nobody loves me. But this guy comes and tells you that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And it's like, wow. Okay. And he said to me, there's a church called Baptist Church. There's Americans that are coming. And remember that time, I used to win awards as a hip-hop artist. You know, I was hip-hop, I was doing rap, you know, I was very good when it comes to hip-hop music. So I heard that Americans are coming. I'm like, oh, man, I'm from the hood. Man, I'm going to show them that I'm from the hood. You know what I'm saying? You know, I gotta go there, man. I wanna show those people that are me. I'm from the wood. I'm from the United States of America. You know what I'm saying? So, I was drawn to Jesus because of I wanted to see Americans. Remember, there were Tupacs and all those guys.
Yeah.
So I wanted to show them that even me, I wanted to rap.
Do it.
I wanted to show them. You know, it was God drawing me. You know what God does? That is why sometimes God can use anything to draw anyone to himself. Sometimes we want to limit God based on our religion, but God is beyond his omnipresence, God, omnipotent. Yes. So I went to Baptist Church, and guess what? They were Americans. So I went wearing my...
your turban, what?
Duke, you know that Duke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bandana.
And then I was wearing this big trouser, you know, walking like this.
Yo.
Yeah, I'm here. And when I get into the church there, they said, remove the tube. What you saying, girl? What you trying to say? I'm in the house of God, man. You know, I get in there. Muruti Munama. Muruti Munama was preaching about, it was the first time hearing Jesus being preached that way. Oh my God. He says, those who want to give their life to Jesus, I went to the front. I lifted up my hands. There was tears in my eyes. I said, Jesus, come. Something happened into my heart. My life changed. I felt something I've never felt before. And when I saw those Americans, even I forgot that they were Americans. But something remarkable happened in my spirit. I went home. I was filled with this energy that I've never felt before. I went and tell my sister that I was staying in the back room. That was Mukuku. Maybe they call it Mukuku, a shack. And I told her that I've given my life to Jesus. She laughed and said, you give your life to Jesus. But I remember I slept. I said, Jesus, thank you that today I've received you.
Wow.
I was just still, I don't know, I was just still pondering, looking up the ceiling of the shack. While I was looking up the ceiling of the shack, all of a sudden, I saw a light shining on the door of the shack. And there walks Jesus.
Same day.
Same day I gave my life to Jesus. Jesus walked through the door of the shack. I did not need anybody to tell me that this is
Who's
Jesus.
That? Yeah.
I knew it was Jesus.
Sure.
He was wearing white. All of his body was white. His eyes were filled with fire. He was shining. I couldn't even look at his face. He was coming with the brightness and his glory. And he speak to me in Sepedi, Arna nkaruma mang koya di chabing gorare efangkai, which means, whom can I send to preach the gospel to the nations?
Whoa.
Jesus. I saw things leaving my body. I saw snakes, animals leaving my body. Things that dirty things leaving my body. When he was talking, he was not speaking with the mouth.
Mm-mm.
He was speaking into my spirit. Because of most of the time when Jesus has appeared to me in visions and dreams, he will speak to my spirit, not with the mouth.
Mm-mm.
He will speak to my spirit and I will respond. He says, whom can I send? I said, send me, Lord, to preach the gospel. But I had a question. I said, Lord, but I've got a problem. I'm very poor. How am I going to preach the gospel? You see, I'm staying in the shack. Fridays I go. I walk over 40 kilometers and go sell wood on the road.
40.
How am I going to preach the gospel? He says, I will be with you. I will provide for you anything
Jesus.
You need. And I said, Lord, send me to preach the gospel. He said, I've sent you to go set my people free from all kind of bondages.
Yeah.
And he disappeared. And he took me back to the vision when I was young. Around maybe 7-8 years old, I had a dream. Because a lot of people, they're asking questions, women of God, they're saying that we shouldn't depend on dreams and visions. Remember the book of Acts chapters 2 verse 17 says, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It talks about dreams and visions.
The
book of Revelation was out of a dream. Revelation, the one that we read, it came because of John was taken through a vision. So God can speak to us through a vision. Every vision and dreams that we see, it must be in line with the word of God.
Come on.
Because remember, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So it must be in line with the word of God. So in that vision, when I was young, I saw we were walking in that farm. I think I was 9 or 12, between that age, in the vision, an earthquake happened. And people, they said, it is God. They begin to kneel down. A big hand pointed and said, I have chosen him. They said in my language, which means God has chosen him. The hand was pointing at me, and I felt so much power. He says, you are my chosen one that I'm going to use. So that vision up until today, I remember it is still real and very powerful. And that is my walk with Christ. The next day, I started waking up 4 a.m. and started saying, Jesus, save! After I gave my life to Jesus, Jesus, save! People were sleeping. Give your life! I was preaching what that pastor was preaching. I remember meeting a lady that had a leg that was swollen, and I prayed for her, and the pus came out instantly. One day I was born again. One day the first miracle I saw was a woman who couldn't walk, who had a big leg. Pus came out of her feet. Another one was on crutches, and I said to her, leave your crutches and walk, and she walked. It was just happening supernatural. Up until today, we've seen the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, deliverance, God doing miracles, signs and wonders. But what I'm trying to say is that after that encounter with the Lord Jesus, I found there was this fire burning in my bones.
And you never looked back.
I never looked back. Through challenges, through pain, I continue preaching the gospel up until today because Jesus is coming back.
What did your family say?
Wow.
Because from the time you received him, you know, I mean, you speak about that fire. And I know what it is to experience Jesus and never look back. It's just like, it's a feeling you can't explain, you know. And you change drastically and dramatically. It takes special people to keep up with you. Because once you hear it, what did your sister say? What did your family say? It's like, what happened? Like you were this rapper. You know, you are fueled up and fired up for Jesus, and you want to preach the gospel, and now you're saying you're chosen.
You see, they thought this thing, abazalane, this thing of being born again, you know, they did not believe, because most of us, we came from those other traditional churches. Okay. I don't want to mention the name of the churches, traditional churches. And they began to see change in my life because of they saw. I remember it was 2002 I gave my life to Jesus, remember? Mm. And I failed my grade 11 twice. But after I gave my life to Jesus, that very same year, 2002, I started preaching in assembly.
Wow.
People like, you know, there are people that knows me very well. People like Yodlanda Koka, they know me very well. I started preaching at assembly at my school.
Yeah.
I told them that I'm passing my matric next year.
Yeah.
And then after that, you will see me on TV preaching the gospel. I started preaching the gospel. I remember 2003. It was 2003. I passed my grade 11, 2002, 2003. I was praying in the mountain. And the Lord told me that I want you to go to Rema Bible College. But sure. I was like, look, how am I going to say? He says, he showed me Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. I started walking by faith. Father, I thank you. I've paid for my fees. And I thank you that I have it, have them now. So I went to preach in prison after I finished writing my exam. Mm. I went to preach in prison. So when I came back from prison, there was a shop called C&A. And I saw the book of Pastor Ray McCauley there. I entered into that shop. And I said to them, hey, God told me I need this book. They said, you know this man? I said, yes, I know this man. God told me that I must go to Bible school of this man.
Okay.
I saw the old woman cried and said, God told us that 2 weeks back that there's going to come a young black man.
Ah.
We must take him to Bible school and pay for all his fees and everything. I only have 2 pairs of trousers that time and maybe 2 shirts. That old woman, they didn't know Afrikaans. You know, in Limpopo, where we come from, there's a lot of apartheid and all those kind of things. People did not, white people, they did not associate a lot with black people.
Okay.
Even at that time, 2002, there was still that racism kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That woman then said, come here the next day. She took me and bought me clothes, jeans and everything, and said, you must prepare.
From the bookshop.
From the bookshop.
From like just like that.
Just like that. God spoke to me like maybe 4 weeks, a month ago.
Yeah.
And then God spoke to them 2 weeks before I came there. That a young man is going to come take him to Bible school to pay for his fees.
Wow.
I remember.
Supernatural.
Every day. I will watch ETV and watch Pastor Ray McCauley. I am coming. I will say, I'm coming, Pastor Ray McCauley.
Yeah.
I remember, and they paid for my fees. I remember the first thing when I arrived in Johannesburg, I went to sit in the second row. I wanted to sit actually in the front.
Yeah.
So those people, they said, no, you can't sit in the front. I sit in the second row because I didn't know that time. And sometimes, you know, when you're in church, the camera comes on you. So I will say, hello. And believe me, people, at that time, Rema was on ETV. People will say, we saw you on TV.
Oh,
they saw me
sitting
in the church, at church. But that was the beginning of great things. They paid for my school fees for 2 years, and they said they're going through financial challenges. Maybe I should go for third year, come back home. But I said, no, God told me that from Johannesburg to the end of the world. I said, don't worry. I remember I was doing, it was an open week at Bible school. I was one of the people that was receiving new students. And one of the lecturer came and said, there is a person that wants to sponsor someone. And we told them that you are one of the most committed, reliable student. Do you need sponsorship? I said, yes. And they said, he said, let me introduce you to the person. They introduced me to the person. My school fees were sponsored for the third year. And for now, I had to trust God for the rent. I remember I will be ushering at Rema. Somebody will come and said, the Lord said, they will put something in my pocket. When I check, it's 5,000. I was believing God. There was a time where I will go
so
to
that's
the,
how you were living. There was not the, any source of income, but your provision.
Every year, there was a time where I went to the ATM. This is a true story. I went with another guy called Alton Matebula. You can call him and confirm with him. I went with him and I commanded money in the ATM.
Hey.
Money came out.
You! What?
I commanded money on the ATM. It came out. There was so much. There was so much supernatural. I had this faith. I was trusting God by faith in a level where sometimes I'll tell the guys, we'll not have food. I'll tell them, no, God has already provided. Somebody will come and bring food. The next thing, a car will stop outside. Somebody will call, Harry, where are you? I was felt the Lord touched me that I must bring food. So I had to trust God for monthly, and my rent was paid.
You never missed a month.
Never missed a month. And guess what? 2006. This is my last year, remember, 2006.
Yes.
I was very close with Kabelo Mabalani. So Kabelo went to minister to a guy called Jared Davidoff. He's an evangelist. Jared Davidoff said, we are looking for an evangelist who can come and work full-time at Save the World Foundation to preach in schools. So Kabelo know that I used to do crusade, invite him and other actors and actresses in the music. I mean, in the I don't want to mention some of them, their names, but I've done crusade, Pumohopong, invited all these big actors that were on TV. So he says, oh, I know a friend. His name is Harry. He's very passionate. He's a soul winner. Kabelo introduced me to Jared Davidoff. I went and meet them. By June 2006, I was now
employed
at Save the World Foundation. I stopped going to morning school. I was doing evening school. They took me, get me a license, get me a car.
Ha!
I was getting a salary. At that time, I was earning 6,000. That's a lot of money. Wow. A month. I had a place to stay. They gave me a place. They said, come and move at the ministry offices.
So they're even providing you a house and a car. And they're still paying you.
And they're still paying me.
Wow. And you are doing what you love.
I'm doing
what I've called
preaching,
for.
Preaching the gospel. I was enjoying myself. So I preached, we preached everywhere. We went to Swaziland, Botswana.
Life, minister.
And 2008, that's when I told Gerard, the Lord says, now I must go full time into the ministry. And then he released me. I remember walking from Four Ways. There was a place where after starting, now I'm going to step out. I had to move out of the place now because I am going to start. I didn't have a place to stay. A white guy gave me accommodation. So I'll walk from Four Ways to Rema. Didn't have money for transport. I remember I rode on the bridge. I said, not long I'm going to be passing here driving my own Isuzu car because I wanted Isuzu so that I can be able to carry sound and do evangelism.
Okay.
2 months later, a friend of mine said, no, hey, there's this car. I want to sell it. So I told one guy, a friend, Romy, I said, hey, there's a car that I'm looking. He says, oh, how much is it? I said, no, go get it. I'll pay it.
Ha!
Just like that. That's how I got the car to start doing evangelism.
Wow. The grace.
Yeah, since then I've been doing evangelism. Maybe we've won over millions of souls to the Lord. School outreach, crusades. We have seen God doing great things.
Wow. To date.
To date.
You are still preaching the gospel.
I've never stopped.
Do you have your own ministry, your own church?
We've got churches. We've got church, our church. We've got church in Northgate. We've got church in Brongosbeet. We've got church in MLO. We've got church in Witbank. We've got church Secunda. We've got different churches in Katlehong. We've got, you know, and others are pastors that we have raised. God has given us the grace to raise them. They've got their own churches.
Okay.
Many pastors have been raised, yes.
So, and you are the lead pastor. You establish most of these ministries.
Yes, I'm the lead pastor. What we normally do, we're allowing pastors to run their churches independently. Like our church is Word Focus Church. Yes. Okay. There's Word Focus Church Secunda, Word Focus Brongosbreed. But most of them, they run them independently. What I'm doing is to do the mentoring. And then sometimes maybe we meet once in a year or so. But they run the church financially independently. Because this thing of pastors having branches and they want to control the finances, they want to do it, is very wrong. Because you're not building the kingdom of God. You are building your own kingdom. You know.
So the ministry for signs and wonders, are you still flowing in that grace, you know? Because I mean, you're speaking about praying for people on wheelchairs, and I mean, what's the grace in your ministry? Because you know, ministries are different, you know. Yeah. Some it's
okay,
they preach prosperity, some it's miracles, some it's a deliverance ministry, yeah. Some is, you know, salvation, some just is just salvation, souls. And yeah. So I mean, they're all salvation, I guess. Yes. So, yeah, it's just absolutely. That the grace that you flow in. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, I believe in the ministry of Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, they shall do even greater works than this." This is a ministry of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ministry of a believer, not of a prophet, apostle, or teacher, or an evangelist. Yes, yes. So which means Jesus says, as a believer, normal believer, you can do what I do. So in our ministry, we believe in the first is the teaching and the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
Because people don't grow by signs and wonders and miracles. Miracles are there to show the power of God.
Yeah.
But they need to be grounded and be taught the word of God to grow in their stature in Christ.
Come on.
So we believe in teaching of the word of God. We believe in prophetic ministry, mostly, you know, prophecies, accuracy of prophecies. Yes. We believe in deliverance. That's what God has been using us in our ministry. We believe in healing. We believe in, you know, the blind, the deaf, seeing. Actually, I wish there were blind people here or deaf. That's our ministry.
Wow.
Mostly the grace of healing of the blind, the deaf, the cripple, people that are bound by evil spirits, people that they look like things are closed in their life.
Yeah.
You know, deliverance from Satanism, devil worshipping, sangomas. We've seen sangomas come into Christ. So, been born again, burning their things.
Yeah.
You know, yes. So, that's our ministry, is fully the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah.
If you see, there was some time praying for someone.
That's a lot.
Who does not have an eye.
Yeah.
Creative miracles.
Yes.
God, the eye coming up.
Ah.
Yeah.
How, Minister Harry? Hi.
It's called creative what?
Creative miracles. Yes.
Okay.
The Bible said that God, Acts chapter 19, verse 11, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Like an example, if somebody doesn't have legs that are equal,
yeah,
we command the other leg to grow. It will grow. You know, I've seen people who supernatural weight loss.
Because I didn't expect that.
No.
What?
We have them on video. What I used to do in those days, now because of, you know.
But why would they want supernatural weight loss?
Because some of the people.
Or like obesity.
Some people, they're too big. They just want to lose weight. So that time, what we used to do, when you enter at the church, on a miracle service, there will be a scale. You write your weight there. You get on the scale, you write your weight. Those who want supernatural weight loss. Then from there, after the service, some of them, they will be holding their trousers cut like
this. It's falling. They've already lost. Believe me,
some 3 kilograms, they've lost 3, 5, some 10. I remember there was a lady that was weighing... What was she weighing? She was weighing 120 and she was weighing 80.
By the time she left the service?
She left the service, yes. We have seen that. So now I'm no longer doing those miracles because they were a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
Especially people, you know, they will say, an example, they will say, why will you want to?
It's like you are wasting miracles. Like, let's dilute serious things here. Like, go to gym.
You understand?
Yes, like people need serious healing.
Yes, but obesity is a sin.
Yeah.
But gluttony, it's in the Bible.
Sure.
It's people who eat too much and get big. Mm. Bible says that is a sin. So some people are, they've got like an example, a lady, she saw her stomach was growing big. She didn't know what was wrong with her stomach, but just go growing big. After prayer, the stomach was okay. Sure. So, and then when she was being prayed for, she was vomiting. Demons were speaking, coming out of her. So certain things are spiritual. Certain things are physical, you know, because the spiritual world controls the physical world. And a lot of people, they don't know that. An example, if somebody has a problem with the eye that doesn't see, When they go to the doctor, they're going to use medical tools to fix it. Uh-huh. But we don't say, like an example on TikTok, I pray for people who are blind. They see live on TikTok. Deaf, they hear live. I will send you the videos, many of them. They see live on TikTok. I'm talking about even yesterday, I was praying for someone. A guy was manifesting demons live on TikTok. It happens because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is in Ghana. God is in Limpopo. God is in Johannesburg. So you can pray for people from anywhere. They will be healed. So I believe. So a lot of people that are having this issue of saying, let's say Millicent or Innocent, they say, no, Innocent has got a gift of healing. Or Millicent has got a gift of deliverance. There is no such. The Bible says that you have the Holy Spirit in you, right?
Yeah.
And the nine gifts of the Spirit are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And where is the Holy Spirit?
Inside of us.
If it's inside of you, where are the gifts?
Inside of us.
And Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So which means they operate by desire. All the gifts are in you. So there's
no such preaching now.
So John chapter 14, verse 12 says, he who believes the works that I do shall do even greater works, which means he who does not believe. So there are pastors who believe in the teaching of Jesus, but they don't believe in the works of Jesus. There are pastors who believe that Jesus is a healer, but they don't believe that he can heal people. They can say it religiously, but you know. So it's not, this is not even the ministry of a pastor, it's a ministry of a believer. He says, in my name, you shall cast out devils. He says, they want preaching everywhere with Jesus confirming his word, which means when you preach the word, he will what? Confirm it with miracles, signs, and wonders.
So, but don't you think it's because of the reputation of, you know, certain churches that perform fake miracles that has taken away now the authenticity of the ones that are really doing it for real, who hire actors, who pay people to pretend like they're sick and then they're not sick.
Yes.
They buy wheelchairs, they rent them, put them at the back of the chair of the church. But because of that, you know, this is why now people are very skeptical of miracles. That the moment a miracle happens, they're like, let's research this person if they are on Facebook. Were they able to see before or after? So when you see things like that, how do you perceive it? Because these are people who also claim to be called.
Yes. The Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's very easy to see a fake prophet and a fake man of God. And there are many. Believe in me, most of some of the guys that you see on TV, they're fake.
But
they're
doing fake. Because what benefit what are they gaining? Maybe you can enlighten us on it, you know?
Yes.
Because they use the name of the Lord, but the spirit behind it is actually not of God. Mm. What is the reason behind that?
They want to be famous, number one.
Mm.
It's because of covetousness. Mm. Love of money.
They want money.
They want fame, they want money. And most of them, that's the people that Jesus, when he comes back, is going to say, they said, I prophesy in your name. I cast out devils in your name. He says, verily, verily, I say to you, I never knew you. That word, I never knew you. It's in Matthew chapter 7, talks about ginasco, means I never had intimacy.
Sure.
I never had intimate relationship. So people, they confuse fellowship and relationship. Once you give your life to Jesus, you have a fellowship with God.
Mm.
But now you've got a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Then there must be a fellowship. So some of the people, the conscience are dead. That's why you find pastors going to a sangoma or to another country to get the powers. And the moment you go to that church, you as a Christian, you have false salvation. During rapture, you're going to remain. Because
that spirit was not
it's true. Not from God.
And you don't have a discerning spirit to tell whether it's from God.
It's
or
from
not.
God. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So you have to be able to discern. And the Bible says you will know them by their fruits.
By their fruit.
Yeah.
And what I love, woman of God, what you are saying, she says you will know them by their fruit. It didn't say you will know them by the tree.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because if you see a mango tree, you see this is a mango tree.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying that don't look at the mango tree and conclude this is a mango tree. He says wait for the fruit. So he did not say you shall know them by the tree. He says you shall know them by the fruit. So even if you see this is a mango tree, wait for the fruit. And which fruit? The fruit of the spirit or the fruit of the flesh.
Yes.
That is the character.
It's the character.
The fruit of the flesh.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, when you read, it says, they will never inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah. so they'll stay behind.
Definitely, they'll stay behind, because a lot of Christians now, they are confusing the difference between repentance and forgiveness. An example, and somebody's involved with a married woman, and God is saying to them, repent. And they said, God, forgive me, I've committed adultery with a married woman. If you repent, you call her and said, my sister, you belong to another man, you are married, this is wrong. This relationship must end. You cut the relationship. After you cut the relationship, you block her. But a lot of people, they're thinking, because of said, Father, forgive me, I've committed adultery, wash me, forgive me, wash me. But the next thing, they're still chatting with the person. Hey, how are you? You have never repented.
That's not repentance.
They profess me with their mouth, their hearts out. So repentance is to take the action.
Yeah.
You have porn video in your phone, you delete it. If your hand causes you to sin,
cut it off.
You know, if this woman, this guy causes you to sin, delete their number. Block them. So that's the that's why a lot of Christians are going to remain through during rapture. Because of they ask for forgiveness, but they keep on going doing the same thing. God forgive me, they do the same thing. So God forgive me, they've never repented.
They've asked for forgiveness, but they have not repented. Would you say that you are controversial?
Very controversial, yes.
Why?
A lot of people, they don't understand me, because they think that, an example, God told me that, God tell them, that being born again doesn't mean you'll go to heaven. Can a Christian go to hell? Yes, a Christian can go to hell.
A born again Christian can
go to hell.
Yo.
I want to ask you a question. Some people, they say, if you're born again, you'll never lose your salvation. There's a guy that I know very well, powerful man of God, was an evangelist preaching the gospel. He's now a sangoma. If a Christian can never lose his, this person was a born again Christian.
How did you lose it?
But he decided to move away from Christ. He's even saying now today that Jesus Christ is a white man. Yeah, now he's got his own ancestors. Whoa. Bible, it's a lie. A person that wants so many souls to the Lord. So God told me that stop preaching that once saved, always saved. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27 says, if we continue to sin willingly, if we have known the knowledge of the truth, there is no any other sacrifice, but what remaineth, it is the fire that will consume the adversary. And the Bible says that those that have tasted the gift of God and were enlightened, they have tasted the gift of the power to come. If they go backslide or they go away from the Lord, they will know, they will not be able to come back again. So, which means I'm trying to say that there are some people that decide to, who are following Jesus, they decide to deny Christ and follow another God. An example,
when they know the truth.
They know the truth.
I think it's worse when you know the truth.
Yes.
It's worse.
Because you deny the truth. You're like, I know it, but I choose not to, by choice.
Yes.
I would rather do the Lord's Prayer every day.
Because it's the ones who ask for forgiveness
every day. You know, when they call the ones in front, you say, who wants to receive the Lord?
Yes.
Every time they do the prayer, I do it as well. Even if I'm the one who's calling them to come. You know, because you know, when you love someone and you want to, how can I say, repeat that covenantal agreement over and over again.
Yes. Like, you like,
I will choose you every day. It's a choice every day to say, you my God, you my Lord, you my personal Savior. You died on the cross for me. You died for my sins.
Yes.
I'm born again over and over again. And that's important, because it's not like a one-day covenant. And that's
work.
It.
And you must put in the work.
Yeah, and you must walk away from your old ways, because as a new creation, as a new creature, things have to change. You can't remain the same person. So people want to make that confession prayer, but they want to remain the same.
They want to remain the same.
There's no way.
So the ones that get grace, just on that subject before we close, the ones who get grace are the ones who truly didn't know who God is, who truly didn't know salvation. Those ones get grace.
No, even the one that got salvation. You know what is grace? Grace is that you still mess up today, God still gives you a chance to repent tomorrow. Because of, during the time of Adam, if you're going to miss the mark, you are out of the presence of God. You're out of the garden. But God still gave us grace every day to say, repent, repent, repent. I remember there was a time where I had a vision, as I, I'm gonna close now. I was going to Mpumalanga driving one of my bucky, and when I was on my way, I saw the fire on the side of the road, like big fire. Okay, I said, hey, this fire is gonna, why is it, it's burning, but it's turning into color. So I stopped and I went to touch. Something just said, touch the fire, touch the fire. It came on my hands, but it was not burning me. Fire was all over my hands.
You went physically to touch the fire?
Yes, I went physically. Why? Because of I put water first, it was not quite been quenched. So I'm like, what kind of water is this?
What kind of fire is this?
I put, it was all over my hands. It was fire all over my hands. All over, I'm like, wow. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me of what Moses went through. And the Holy Spirit said, look up. I look up. I saw many angels. And Jesus was standing like a sun in the middle of the angels. He was looking at me.
This is life.
This is a vision.
Oh, this is a vision. Yes.
This is a vision.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a vision. Mm. Jesus was standing live with angels. Angels on the left and angels on the right. Ooh. And immediately when I was looking at Jesus, he was looking at me, and I knew that if Jesus were to come back that day, I would not be raptured. Everything became in my eyes, in my face. Every mistake I've ever done was in front of him. Every sin that I never repented of, it came in front of my face. And Jesus told me and said, I am coming back. Go tell the pastors to repent. Go tell the church to repent. Tell them I'm no longer coming back soon. Tell them I'm coming back anytime from now.
Sure.
Believe in me, I felt like I should have preached more of preaching the gospel. I should have done more of God.
You felt like you didn't do enough.
I didn't do enough. It was, I felt so sure. You know that experience of saying, that I wish I should have done these things right. I wish I should have done things. He says, I'm giving you a chance. Go tell them. So there are many visions that, you know, where I was taken to the throne. I'll share them some other day. But that marked the beginning of me preaching about the coming of Jesus.
Wow.
And people, they're not aware that Jesus Christ might come back anytime. He might come back today. We must live as if he's coming back now.
That's it. Yeah.
If you know, some of you are watching, you've got unforgiveness. There are people that are in hell because of unforgiveness.
Yay.
Because the Bible says that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive.
Forgive those.
Forgiveness is conditional.
Yeah.
You must forgive others.
Come on now.
It's forgiven. It's conditional.
Conditional.
Because Mark chapter 11, verse 25, 26 says, if you stand praying, you have anything against, forgive so that your heavenly Father may forgive. If you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your sins.
Sure.
So forgiveness is conditional. So small foxes.
I was reading that scripture just yesterday in the Monday midnight prayer.
Yeah.
Mark 11,
You know, women of God, small foxes, we need to let go of them. A born-again Christian can lose their salvation. If you know you are in a sin that God wants you to repent and you don't repent of it, the day Jesus comes back, you are going to remain. God didn't say we're not going to miss the mark. But David was a man after God's own heart because David had a repentant heart. So God wants us to come to the level where he says they profess with their mouth, but they were works denies. Their lifestyle denies me. That's why we have false Christians.
Sure.
False Christians, number one, Christians that goes to false churches. Churches of men of God that have get the powers from satanic things. If you
but
go
how
to
do we save them? Because maybe they don't know. I'm like, they are deceived as well. They are told.
You are saving them, twins. By this podcast, you are saving them. Because of they shall know the truth, and the truth will
let them free.
So people who go to false churches, because of the church altar, it's not God.
It's not God.
God's altar. Even if their hearts are sincere, they have been deceived because of the covering. They have been covered under. They have been manipulated by demonic altar.
Sure. And they bow on those altars.
They bow on
That's
those
a
altars.
Problem.
It's like, you know, That's the second part, is a Christian who's a born again, but they still go to Sangomas, consult Sangomas, consult fortune tellers.
Yes, the doors
everywhere.
They open doors, so you can't be a Christian and serve another God.
How?
Others, for types of false Christians, are Christians that are born again, they still go worship ancestors. They do msebenzasekhaya.
Yes.
When they say they're doing, you're not a Christian. You still go to worship ancestral worship. You still go to see a Sangoma. You are a false Christian. When Jesus rapture happens, you're going to remain. And the last one of the false Christians are the Christians who say Jesus is Lord.
Mm.
But they're lukewarm, their lifestyle.
Okay.
They live like, they go to clubbing like anybody. Mm. They drink, smoke, they sleep, they fit in everywhere.
Mm.
They're going to remain when Jesus comes back.
Yeah?
Yes. So that's false Christians. Next time we'll talk about false prophets.
Yay!
Hey. That one is a whole chapter, I'm sure.
Hey.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing
that. Thank you so much, it's an honor to be here.
I'm looking forward to going on your social media platforms and seeing the work that you're doing as well.
Where are you? Can you tell us?
Yeah, give us your handles.
On Facebook, it's Minister Harry. On TikTok, it's Minister Harry.
Mm.
And you Facebook, do live videos?
I do live broadcast every day, 9 to 11.
It's every time, day?
Every day, yes. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. I'm there teaching the word. From there, I prophesy people live.
Yeah. Pray,
I call you.
So prophecy is a thing for you. It's
live.
Like,
you are blind there. I call you on TikTok there live. Put your hand in your eye. See in Jesus' name. You are deaf there. You get healed live there. Live on TikTok.
You are working.
No. Monday to and morning, every morning, Tuesday to Saturday is prayer from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Just intercession. 2 hours. 2 hours, yes, of intercession. So that's what I do. Yes.
You are full time.
No, we glorify the Lord and Jesus get all the glory. We just need to work for him. And you guys are doing a great work. You don't know how this platform has really changed my life and other people's lives.
Yeah. Sure.
It's so much encouraging. Praise keep on doing God. The work of God. And I encourage the people, if there's a place that they need to sow in a fertile soul, this is here.
Amen.
You are a blessing to the body of Christ.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for honoring our invitation. That was hectic, right?
Hey.
And I always like how, you know, when someone's called, it starts from a young age.
Yeah.
Like the call is always so evident.
It follows you.
It's like you can't run away from it, you know?
Like it doesn't come in your adulthood. Like when you are young, you just know
you're going to work for God.
Yes.
Yeah, from the land of milk and honey. All the way to the Saint Twins podcast.
I've been
through the most. Minister Harry, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for opening up. You know, we have learned so much. You've touched on so many different things. And I cannot wait for you to come back for a part two.
Yes, please do let us know in the comment section what you think about today's episode, all your questions, all your comments. We'd like to hear them all. Or, of course, if you want to email us, you can also email us, and we did share the social media details where people can follow Minister Harry. But for myself, Millicent,
and myself, Innocent,
and our team behind the cameras, and of course, Minister Harry, it is goodbye.
I've been through the most.